Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, where again we hear, starting at verse 1, "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God." We hear also today from the 19th chapter of John. "Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I thirst.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips." This is God's word, and hearing these words, you can imagine how this sermon might begin. Maybe you expect a literal description of the tortures our Lord endured on the cross and his excruciating thirst. Or maybe you expect an opening illustration, something about a hot day, hard work, something designed to get you to remember how you have felt when you've been really thirsty. But instead, I simply have one question for you. For what do you thirst? Am I trying to trap you? You've heard enough sermons to know where this is going. You know, we shouldn't thirst for material things. You know how that goes. But that's not where I'm going. This is no trap. I am taking certain things for granted here today. I'm assuming that I'm talking to the Christian church, those redeemed by the blood shed by our Lord Jesus on the cross. I'm speaking to those whom the New Testament describes as the body of Christ. Talking to those who know the promise of an end to suffering because Jesus died for us. I'm talking to you. You who fit the description of 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves in the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Did you hear Peter calling us to arm ourselves with the same thinking as Christ? Today we heard Peter say that we are done with sin. But we all know we still struggle with sin. So today let's think about ourselves as that body of Christ and still sinners, but saved sinners, forgiven sinners, armed with the same manner of thinking as Jesus. And with this in mind, let's ask the question again, for what do we thirst? As those who not only represent Jesus, but carry him in ourselves. Well, we thirst for justice. We thirst for healing. We thirst for an end to suffering. We thirst for those without jobs to find employment so that they can provide for their families. We thirst for safety, especially for the defenseless and the weak, the vulnerable. We thirst for an end to violence in all of its descriptions. One look at our weekly prayer list will reveal exactly what we are thirsting for. At last, we've come to the part of the sermon where I am supposed to turn the corner. I could take a moment to look closer at the gospel lesson. I could point out to you that John lets us know that this drink was given to Jesus in order to fulfill the scriptures. And then we could look at the psalm that Jesus is fulfilling, 69 verse 21, which says, "For my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink." I could tell you that just as God promised a brief release from suffering for Jesus in the form of that drink on the cross, so in the same way we can know God will meet our needs. And some might even think this is the part of the sermon where I'm supposed to tell you that as you're going through your time of earthly suffering, God will provide for your thirst to be quenched as well. But I'm not going to say that, because I'm not sure that's true. We thirst, and sometimes there is no relief. Sometimes there's no cure for the disease. Sometimes no new job comes. Sometimes the house is foreclosed. Sometimes there's no water to quench the thirst. It's like the story that we heard last week of the children buried under the rubble in Haiti. Two of them were rescued, but others died. Remember the girl Sabrina? Before Sabrina's brother died, he asked her for water. She couldn't find any to give him. What is there to say to the Sabrinas of the world? Oh, sure, religious people have countless phrases to call upon in such situations. Phrases used so often that they become even meaningless to our own ears. How could they possibly help? Try telling one of our Christian cliches to Sabrina and see what she has to say. In the face of such horror, would I dare to say something like, "Sabrina, God never gives you more than you can handle"? I don't think so. The Sabrinas of the world and anyone else who has ever truly suffered needs far more than a pat answer, far more than bumper sticker theology. And this would be the perfect time for me to say that we have something far more. This is the right time to remind you that clinging to a cliche is not what we're after. It's the right time to direct your attention to a person. God's own Son, Jesus. That may be what you're expecting. And at that point, at this point, that's exactly what I'm going to do, because it's the most important thing that I can do. Jesus lives. It's the only news that can truly be good. Jesus lives. But is that enough? If this good news, the gospel, that Jesus lives, doesn't seem like enough, perhaps it's because we don't realize what we truly need. Let me say that again, and please hear it. If this good news that Jesus lives doesn't seem like enough, perhaps it's because we don't realize what we need. All too often we are trapped in the moment. We live in the midst of whatever suffering we're currently in, and we can't see what we really need. We focus all our attention on alleviating the suffering right now. We want an end to that suffering. That man thirsting on the cross would come to an end of his suffering. He would die. And when he died, he paid for the sin, which has brought so much suffering into the world and into our lives. But an end to suffering is not enough. Even if the pain is numbed, the wound remains. What we need is healing. And that is the promise that we see in Jesus' resurrection. Jesus lives. And because he lives, we too shall live. With his resurrection, Jesus brings more than an end to our suffering. He brings the promise of a day when all will be put right. All will be healed. All will be made whole. All the things that hurt us will be no more. There will come a time when death will be swallowed up and God himself will wipe away the tears from all eyes. End of suffering, yes, but so much more. That is our goal. That's what we truly need, not just for pain to end, but to be healed, to be made whole in Christ. This is the hope that keeps us going. This is what enables us to put one foot in front of the other in our times of suffering. It's the certainty which arms us, as Peter says in his letter, with the same way of thinking as Christ. Does this alleviate all suffering in the here and now? No, we still thirst. Must we wait with parched throats until the final day? Will our suffering never be alleviated now? By no means. God is daily intervening. In countless ways, God is giving us little sips of water so that we can endure this drought. Help the way we want it to come may not always come, but because Christ lives, we have hope. Again, Kiki and Sabrina may have lost their brother and other siblings, but they were both rescued. And in fact, that's one of the key reasons that we are still here. We are the body of Christ in this suffering and hurting world. We're often the instruments. We, you and I, and all who bear the name of Christ are the instruments God uses to alleviate suffering in the here and now. As we wait for the final day of healing to come, we become the ones who wipe the tears away from other eyes as we wait for the day when sorrow will end. We sip the water as we wait for the day when the drought will end. As we wait for the day when the source of living water will return, and we will thirst no more, we serve. We wait. We serve and we wait together. Would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, no blinding sign we ask, no wonder from above. Lord, help us place our trust alone in your unswerving love. Amen.